بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, we are looking at the four stories in Surah Al-Kahf, the four lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us, which concern four different tests that people are faced with in life. And we dealt with the first one, which is the test of faith, the test of being able to practice your religion, the test of being able to follow your religion. And we found that in this case, those who give primacy to the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who give primacy to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who do not allow their faith to be compromised because of anything else in the dunya, then such people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps them, and He helps them in ways that we cannot, which logic defies, we cannot understand those ways. We cannot say that this will happen, that will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make things happen which we cannot comprehend. But the condition is that first we have to take a stance. If we do not take a stance, and if we say, no, first create the conditions of safety, then I will do it, it doesn't work like that. A person has to take a stance to say, I will follow my faith irrespective of what happens. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about conditions whereby you are saved and your faith is saved. Having said that, and having, despite the example that is given in Surah Al-Kahf, where these people were physically also safe, please understand that safety in the context of Islam is not necessarily physical safety alone. If it was physical safety alone, then nobody would be shaheed. Because if you are shaheed, you are dead. So effectively, physically, you have not been saved. But your iman has been saved, and you have been given Jannah without hisab. So safety is in two ways. One is physical safety also, which Allah has given and Allah showed in Surah Al-Kahf and in many places. And also safety is where physical safety may not be there, but alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save your and my iman. We ask Allah for this. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that person shahada. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who dies without a genuine desire for shahada has not died as a Muslim. So having this desire, to give it or not give it is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not, we can't take it for ourselves. But to have this desire that I would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable me to spend my entire life and to live and die for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is from iman. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alamin. My salah, my sacrifice, my entire life and my death is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. The second test and the second story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran is a test of wealth. And Allah gave us this story, this example of this man who had two gardens, and he had a river that flowed between the two gardens, which means the gardens were irrigated and they were very fruitful. And so he was a very wealthy man. He had a large family, he had many children and so on. So he was a wealthy man in every way. And Allah then mentioned his conduct. And his conduct was a conduct of arrogance. And he said, this is what I have got, is something which I have earned. I have made this with my effort. I am a self-made man. And so on and so on. And he said that this what Allah has given me will remain with me forever. This is mine. This is mine forever. I was telling you the other day about, you know, my childhood experiences of looking at the Golconda Fort. If you think about anything, if you look at any of the so-called, today what we call monuments, these monuments were what? They were somebody, it was somebody's house. Yeah? When Shah Jahan was living in the Red Fort in Delhi, and if he went out anywhere, and if he wanted to go back home, what would he tell his driver? Take me where? He won't say, take me to the Red Fort. He'd say, take me home. Right? That is his home. When Afzal Uddala wanted to go home, where was he going? To Chaumahalla Palace. Today we are saying Chaumahalla Palace, you know, museum, this, this. For Afzal Uddala, it was his house. So he would say, we go home. What is home? Chaumahalla Palace. When Vekar al-Mara went home, before he gave it away to Mahavali Pasha, where did he go? To Falaknuma Palace. Right? So today, but where are those people now? They are all with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the issue is that whoever has wealth always thinks that this wealth will remain with me forever. Even the good ones. There's a famous quote of Harun Rashid, who is known to be a very pious Khalifa and so on. He's one of the Abbasi kings. There's a story that he was standing on his balcony in his palace. He looked at the sky. There were clouds in the sky. So he said to the cloud, this is a man, he's a human being speaking to the cloud. He says to the cloud, go and rain wherever you like, that revenue will come to me. Huh? This is not arrogance. What is it? you are a miserable human being. Just because Allah gave you a position. So I'm saying even the good ones, may Allah save us from ourselves. He was a good man. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive him and may Allah give him Jannah. But I'm saying statements. You give yourself a title like Shah Jahan. Who is Jahan? Shah Jahan did not even rule over the whole of India. Where is the question of being the king of the world? Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates titles like this. Shahin Shah, Shah Jahan, and so on and so on. The king of the world. Yes, Allah hates names like this. Arrogance because of wealth is a tendency of the human being. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this story. Now that is one side. The other side is arrogance also comes because of knowledge. That is why arrogance, kibr, is the specific illness and ailment of two kinds of people. The umara and the ulama. So arrogance because of ilm. This test we will see. The next story in Suratul Kahf is about that. But I'm not preempting that. We will talk about that inshallah. But I'm saying this arrogance on the basis of I have wealth, I have knowledge. How much wealth, how much knowledge? What is that wealth compared to, forget about, I'm not even talking about compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures, because first of all, we cannot compare with something which we don't know. So do we know how much is Allah's treasures? All we know is that they are unlimited, but beyond that, what do we know? So how can we compare with that? We don't have to compare with that. Look at this dunya itself. Right? Look at this dunya itself. Supposing you say, I am the king of this country, for whichever country it is, right? I am the king of this country. In terms of wealth and power, do you have more than the president of the United States? No. Whichever country you are the king of, symbolically speaking, you are at the feet of the president of the United States. So what is the big deal? Now the president of the United States, if you are the president of the United States, do you run the whole world? You don't. Even George Bush had to tell a whole bunch of lies. He and Condi Rice and, all of these guys, they had to lie through their teeth in the United Nations in order to go and do what they did in Iraq. Why did they do that? Why did they need to do that? Why don't you simply go and invade and say, yeah, I am going to invade. I feel like invading. Today I woke up in the morning. I thought it's a good thing. Let me go and invade some country. So I'm doing it. They can't do that. Why? Because they are afraid. They are afraid of public opinion. They are afraid of what other people will say. And so where is your power? Where is your power? This is the lesson. The lesson is, no matter how much wealth you think you have, no matter how much power you think you have, actually it is nothing. it is nothing even compared to other people with power and with wealth in this world. Forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's treasures and so on. We don't have to go there. In this dunya itself. I always tell people, you know, we have in Hyderabad, we say, oh, no, I have a house. I have this much of land. I have this flat. I have got a farm in so-and-so, Vikarabad, right? How much? And we say, how many acres is that? Well, it is, you know, my farm is 20 acres. My farm is, and 20, we don't say 20, 20 acres. We have to say this with the proper tajweed. 20 acres. 30 acres. I used to run tea and coffee estates. The last one I ran was 2,000 acres. 20 acres was one field. One small field. So, you employ 5 or 6 or 10 or 15 or whatever temporary workers. I had 800 permanent workers. I had 4 assistant managers. I had tractors, I had trucks, I had... And that was one estate. And the company I own, the family who owns that, they had 8 or 10 of those estates. So now do the multiplications. And that is one small company. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened my eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me the world. Alhamdulillah. I have a friend in South Africa. He has one game farm, which is 15,000 hectares. 1 hectare is 2.47 acres. He has one game farm, which is 15,000 hectares. He's got another one, which is another 15,000 hectares. Yeah, itne square feet, utte acres bolke, bahut wo phutkte, zameen pe paan nahi tikte. No, my point is that where does it end? Where does it end? This is the lesson that we are learning. Suratul Kahf, alhamdulillah, we must read it every Friday. This is good. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, told us the barakah. But it's not simply meant for us to read every Friday for the sahab. It is meant for us to think and reflect and say, what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us? Why is Allah telling us about some fellow who had a garden? Who cares who had any garden? Because this applies to us. This applies to, it is me. And it's not the amount. The person who has one small little, you know, 1,000 square foot or 900 square foot flat is as arrogant about that as somebody who owns hundreds and thousands of acres. There's no difference. It's just a matter of, you know, difference in terms of scale. In Jeddah, there is this Shadi Khana called Laylati. I'm sure you all know this. So, we were driving past once there and one of my friends was with me and he was a manager in Laylati. So, and Laylati is like huge sheds, you know, major like industrial sheds. So, he was telling me, he said, how the weddings are done. He said, there, that whole place is decorated for the wedding. And decorated is a proper decoration. It is not paper. This is, you know, got your sofa sets and carpets and the works. And once all that is over, the next person who comes, he says, remove all this. You will not use somebody else's stuff. What should we throw it? So he says, that we have got storehouses with all this stuff which is lying there. The people say, take it and go away. So you will spend spend millions putting it all back again. So today in our weddings, when we do all kinds of tamasha, who do you think you are exceeding? There are people, what you spend in your wedding, that fellow will spend on his dogs. You think you are doing a great thing. This is all arrogance. This is all misguidance. And all of this will lead to where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Allah said one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away everything from this man. Then he realized. His friend tried to advise him. His friend tried to tell him, do not be arrogant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who created you from a sperm, from a clot of blood. And then he made you into a human being. Sawwa ka rajula. He made you into a good and, you know, handsome human being. And Allah gave you wealth. He said, no. It's my wealth. I have made it. And then when Allah took it all away, when all the gardens burnt and everything is finished, Now the man realizes what is the reality. Obviously, at that time, it is gone. Khalas. Now you realize, you don't realize, makes no difference. And that is the reason why we need to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what Allah has given us. Inshallah, more about it tomorrow. How do we save ourselves from calamity? By shukr. And by being humble and humility. And by spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from arrogance, to enable us to understand what He has given us and to be thankful for this. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.